Church, who are you? Supernatural. And the reason why I'm this bold with it is so that we all can take it out. And I said to the lady, right? The power of God is going to hit your heart now. And your heart will be new. I'm talking about a disease that is in front of everybody. This woman could not move. And I ministered to her, and I went to the person that was on the lumbar. Listen, the woman with the heart problem, nothing changed. Right there when I ministered to her. But say we are supernatural. I was ministering to the person whose whole body had failed. I looked back, I said, you're fine, it's okay, glory to God. And I continued ministering to the person. While I was still ministering to the person with the lumbar, she stood up. She said, everything holding her heart is fine. Hallelujah. Church, hallelujah. Why am I saying this? I'm saying you must be very bold in the supernatural. Why am I telling you? I ministered to her, nothing changed. She was still like this. A physical heart problem in a meeting. And I said, not a problem. And I was ministering to the other person. And I looked back and I said, you know, the power of God has touched you. You have to be fine. Amen. And then she was. And then the person with the lumbar saw it. And I said, you know what? You just sit on the altar, stand up, hug me, and you'll be fine. You know why I could do that? I could do that because he had seen someone with a heart problem get up. So it was easy because the fire of God was already there. Amen. Why could I practicalize with, you know, the person that could not kneel, could not bow, was kneeling and bowing. In fact, you know, it was Nigeria. The person who even prostrated, thank you, and all of that. But why did I say that? I said that to let you know that the supernatural is actually inside of you. The spirit is real there. It's actually not a figure of speech. It's a fact. And until, you see, it's either Jesus Christ came out of the grave or he didn't. There is a message of the gospel. And that message comes with power. Can we get a believing amen? Church, can we get a believing amen? Amen. Hallelujah. All right, let's get into God's word. Say, I'm ready for God's word. Come on, I am ready for God's word. I'm going to pause the teaching from last week, right, to start off to take it next week. But I paused that. I thought to have a new service, we should have just a new teaching, just one session. So the title of the teaching is The Transplendent Life. Amen. What is a transplendent life? It's a life of glory, a life of beauty. Okay, if you wanted to break it down in simple words, how to live a successful Christian life. Praise the Lord. Church, I need to respond. Praise the Lord. Amen. Because there's what we call believing the gospel. And there's what we call the life in the gospel. Praise the Lord. All right, praise the Lord. Let's get into scriptures. What is the gospel? 1 Corinthians 15. If anybody ever asked you, you're a Christian, what does it mean to be a Christian? What does it mean? 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15, we are reading verse 1. We are looking at the transcendent life. And I'll be telling you a couple of things that you can look at that will aid your life. Aid your life, no matter who you are. Look at 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel. Someone say the gospel. The gospel means good news. Say good news. So when we talk about the gospel is good news. What is the good news? Listen, which I preach unto you. So what do you do with the gospel? You preach it. Who are you? You are a preacher of the... So the gospel means good news. So who are you? A preacher of the good news. He says, the gospel which I preached unto you, which you received. How do men get born again? They receive the message that you preached. It says, and wherein you stand, verse 2, by which also you are saved. Are you in verse 2? If you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. Verse 3, how I delivered first of all what I received, how that Christ died for thee. Christ died for our. What is the gospel? Christ died for our sins. When you say, I believe the gospel, you are simply saying you believe that Christ died for our sins. Amen. So Christ, say Christ died for my sins. Look at verse 4. What does it mean to be a believer? It means I believe that Christ died for my sins. Is that where he ended? Verse 4 says, and that he was. So was Christ buried? Yes, he was buried. And what else? And he rose again when? If anyone asks you, what does it mean to be a believer, a Christian? It means you believe in the good news. What is the good news? Christ died for our sins, was buried, and was raised the third day. Amen. And when he was raised the third day, what happened? When we hear the gospel and believe, his spirit dwells in us. Amen. Church, amen. I want you to follow me today. So, am I a carrier of the spirit? If I believe the gospel, you know what I just did right now was manifesting the spirit. I spoke in tongues, interpreted, told you about the things to come. Manifesting the spirit. I stood in front of someone that was sick and I said, be healed. Manifesting the spirit. So there is the manifestation of the spirit. But what I'm trying to tell you today is that you have received the spirit. Say, I have received the spirit. Why is this important? Because you have received the ministry of reconciliation. One of the reasons why God has given you the Spirit outside of communion is to demonstrate the Spirit. Amen. Church, amen. That's why we practicalize Spirit. That's why I tell somebody, come and minister the gospel. Come and give a word. Come and minister to the sick. Come and, because that is the reason why God has given us the Spirit. We are not going to, like people say, we are not going to use the Spirit in heaven. You need it here for the work. Amen. Church, amen. Right, yeah. So when you believe the gospel, you are saved. Your sins have been forgiven. You have eternal life. Someone say, I have eternal life. Come and say, I have eternal life. Eternal life is the life of God, the nature of God. I have it. I will not have eternal life. I have eternal life. Praise God. Eternal life is not what you receive when you go to heaven. Eternal life is now. That is the reason you're a believer. Believers don't go to heaven. They were born there. Amen. Church, amen. Church, that's why it says we are citizens of the kingdom. It didn't say we will be. We are. Hallelujah. Because if we don't, what am I talking about? Your identity. If I don't talk to you about identity, you will not know the reason for why you live the way you live. Say, I have eternal life. My sins have been forgiven. Come on, I have eternal life. I manifest heaven on the earth. The believer is not trying to go to heaven. The believer is trying to bring heaven to the earth. Praise God. How many people know that when someone has got a problem? Now, another person was talking to me. They didn't tell me. And a lady has scoliosis. They had to travel to Germany. They spent thousands of pounds. And when they were recovering, they told me about it. And I just come back from ministering to somebody where we change the person's body structure. There was even another person that had a short leg. And I just said, now legs grow out. And the legs grew out. And I said, you should have told me. Because at the end of the day, the supernatural is not a figure of speech. It's a fact. I said, you should have told me. I would have gotten the scoliosis out of her body. Say, is it possible for a believer to bend? Someone has a bent back, you can straighten it up. I said, yeah. By the Holy Ghost. Say the things of the Spirit. It's not a figure of speech. That's why we shout, Jesus is alive. That's what we mean. Our sins are forgiven. We have eternal life. That's what we mean. We can manifest the Spirit. Amen. Church, amen. Amen. Why am I saying this? It's not alone. It's not only for me. Apart from my pastoral office, I am not special or different from you. Amen. Church, amen. Church, amen. Praise God. We have a ministry of reconciliation. We have to tell the world about Jesus. And if we are going to tell the world about Jesus, we have to do it with power. That's why I say these things I say. It's not so you say, whoa, wow, whoa, ow, whoa. No, it's because the power of God is at work in you. Is it working you? And many people need to hear about Jesus from your lips. Amen. Amen. And the way Jesus preached and healed, you are to preach and heal. Can we get a believing amen? Amen. You are to demonstrate God's power. Can we get a believing amen? Amen? Okay, now I've gotten that out of the way. What I really want to say. How to live. a successful Christian life. Amen. One of the things that would aid you in living a successful Christian life, how do I say this without sounding, how do I say it and make it big to you? Live by God's word. It's as simple, but it's as powerful. What did I just say? Live by, but you know you cannot live by God's word if you don't know God's word. Let me show you something. Second Peter, and I'm going to be big on live by God's word today. Second Peter, you cannot fellowship with whom you don't know. Very easily, your fellowship will get in vain. Second Peter chapter 3. You even know what? Let's look at 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 2. Grace, 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 2. I'll come to verse chapter 3 later. Are you in verse 2? Grace and peace be, church, grace and peace be multiplied unto who? You. How? Through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our. What is multiplied to you? Grace and peace through the knowledge. That word knowledge there is precise, accurate knowledge of God. See me, the God you don't know, you can fellowship with. Your anxieties will be real. Fears will be real in this world. Amen. So what I'm saying to you is, give God's word priority. Factor this, that you would need to have Bible studies. Grace and peace is multiplied through the knowledge. While this is a basic teaching, it is the powerful teaching believers need. We live in a busy world, and you realize that there will be people who have gone days. It is not to condemn. They have not gotten into the Bible. Listen, it's not as it were just reading the Bible that actually, so it's not like a to-do. It's actually understanding that unless I understand what is written, I can't fellowship with God. Fellowship with God is not a function also of knowledge. Amen. Church, amen. Hey, amen. No, amen. Grace and peace is multiplied to you through the knowledge. If you don't know God, that's why get the word of God in. Know God's word, you so that you can predict God. Someone say, can I predict God? Yes. God gave you his word to predict him. And I'll give you examples. Let me give you an example. Because the word of God, you use it to live out your life. How would you know God's will? It's through God's word. Let me say something to you. If you want to hear God, read his word. Amen. Now, those that are writing down, write down. If you want to hear God, someone told me, how do you hear God? Keep reading his word. God will speak to you. The man that does not read God's word should never say God did not speak to him. Hallelujah. Church, hallelujah. God will speak to you. And that is why the more the generation gets lazy and distant from the Lord, they do things outside the will of God. You only can know the will of God by feasting on the word of God. You will know God's leading. How would you live a life where which you will be led? You'll be in the will of God. How do I know God's will? I first stay in God's word. Feast on it. Don't let anything take the time of God's word from you. If you want to live a transplendent life, meaning a life where which your emotions are in check. A life where which you're a champion on this earth. It's not saying trials will not come your way. It's simply saying you know at best you've got the answer. You know at best you've got the Lord. Amen. Church, amen. Church, are we following this teaching today? Okay. If I wanted to know God's leading, I get into God's word. If I wanted to calm my fears, I get into God. Look at Psalm 37. I want you to be there. Psalm 37. Because the first thing I'm saying is read God's word. Look at Psalm 37. It says, fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be envious against workers of iniquity. So, for example, if you do not know this, you know you could be a believer. You'll be looking at other people and saying, this one does not know God, but he seems to be doing well. Amen? This one doesn't know God, but the Bible is already teaching you how to program your mind. It says, fret not. What is the believer to do? Verse 3, trust in the Lord and do good. So you shall dwell in the land and verily you shall be fed. What does God say to you? Verse 4, if you don't see it this way, you struggle. Look at verse 4. It says, delight thyself. Delight what? Thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your... If this scripture, you took it out, and you live by this scripture, you'll be a chairman, a champion, a man that lives... It says, other people in life, they are pursuing their desires. What does the psalmist say you should pursue? Delight thyself in... Church, delight thyself in... And what will he do? He will give you the desires of your heart. Let me tell you the trick about that. When you start to desire the things of God, God works on your heart to desire the things he wants you to desire. So this is the key to living a transplendent life. Look at it again. Delight thyself in the Lord. This is simple. I'll tell you the way Jesus said the same thing. This is Jesus saying, make me, put me as number one. Let the things that burn in my heart burn in your hearts. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Church, are you hearing what I'm saying? Look at it again. Look at verse 5. Commit thy way unto the Lord and trust him. He shall bring it to pass. What did he say? Commit thy ways. What am I to do? Commit my way. What am I to do? Delight myself. What does the world like to do? Not to delight themselves. How do I delight myself? I told you, spend time feasting on God's word. Amen. Church, amen. Church, amen. All right, look at verse 12. I want to show you verse 12. Look at verse 12. It says, the wicked plotteth against the righteous and gnashes his teeth. The Lord shall laugh, for he seeth the day coming. The wicked have drawn out their sword, and they've done this, and they've done that. And then you end up, it says, it doesn't matter what the wicked do to the righteous will be kept. Now, this is information that the believer reads and says, oh, I see. Oh. So when, you know, when people are trying to hit at you, when people are all, you think you have to fight for yourself, but you have read God's word, so you know better. Amen. You know better. That is why I said, the word of God brings calmness to you. It brings calmness to your soul. Hallelujah. When storms come, the Bible says the difference between one believer and another believer is the believer who has been feeding on God's word. Storms will test your word level. Matthew 4. Matthew 7. It will. That is why, look at Matthew 7. I want to read verse 24. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them. Are you hearing? These things are simple. Whosoever does what? Heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them. I will liken him to who? I will liken him to a wise man. So can I be wise in God? Yes. How? I will get to know what he says. And then I will do it. He says, I will be wise. He said, look at it there. It says, this one that is wise, he built his house on the rock. It says, and the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew, they beat upon the house. It fell not because it was founded upon the rock. Did you see that I said rain will come? Floods will come. Breeze will blow. Did you see that? These are typologies of storms to the man that has believed. Amen. But he says to you there, this man will keep standing. Why? He had before now been living a consistent life, feeding on God's word.
In feeding on God's word, he has put his delight in the Lord. He sees, he puts God as number one. You know, it is feeding in God's word that makes, that prioritizes God as number one. Don't just wake up and just go into social media. No. Have a proper devotional life. Amen. Church, amen. This world will make it look like, I've always realized that, you know, even pastors should know this. You pastors are always bound to think that if they don't show up, the world will collapse. Until pastors die and realize that life continues. Amen. Church, amen. Ah, amen. I'm not saying I'm going to die. I'm just giving you an example. Praise God. I'm trying to tell you, people leave. Women might leave. Wives might leave like, oh my God, if I don't wake up now, I'm blue. The whole world will collapse. It only looks like so. Life will adjust. So prioritize what is important. Prioritize Jesus. Amen. Church, amen. Yeah, prioritize Jesus. How did Jesus say this same thing? Look at the other one. Look at it. Look at Matthew 7. Look at verse 26. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not. I said, this is the thing about God. God will say his word. It will be left for you to do. God will not come back and say, idiot, stupid boy, you did not do. But what will happen is that in life, he did not say because you did the word of God, storms will not come. It only said when the storms come, we will see who was doing and who was playing. Amen. It says when the storms came on this one and it blew, the house fell down. Are you hearing me? Meaning that Christianity takes personal responsibility. I can't even do this for my wife. Are you hearing me? You can't do it for your... It says that because storms come either corporately, family, or independently. Have you noticed? So you would have to feed on God's word for yourself, then for others. Amen. Church, amen. That's it. How to live a life of success. Don't play with your devotions. Ensure you've got it. And you are in this devotion, you're feasting on God's word. Hallelujah. Delighting in the Lord. Committing your ways into the Lord's hands. Making practical Christian living. Amen. Church, amen. Don't be that Christian that opens Bible on Sunday. Don't be that Christian that is just one verse. I don't have a problem with people that always parade one verse. It's good to stick in the head. But I ensure that you read God's word copiously. Know what it is saying. Amen. Have an idea of what it is saying. More than an idea, be very holistic. That's why you are able to say, this is what God will say. This is what God will do on this point. Why? How many people know that Ayola is able to predict what Sadiq will do because of interaction? You know, we won't call her a big woman of faith because she knows what Sadiq will do. She knows what Sadiq will do because she's married to Sadiq, and because of that interaction, she can predict. That's the point. When you fellowship with the Lord, you're able to predict what he will do. Predicting God is something people should do. God gave us his word that it might be predictable. Amen. Amen. That's why I say, when you pray in the name of Jesus, this is the confidence that we have that he hears us. So can we predict that God hears? Because he told us. We read it. That's what I mean. Praise the Lord. Church, praise the Lord. Amen. See, what did Jesus say about this thing? Look at Matthew 6:33. My first point in living a transplendent life is give the word priority. Matthew 6:33. Are you there? Are you in 33? But seek ye first. Look, you realize that verse 32 already tells you that there is a way the world lives. Are you there? Right, church, are you there? In fact, let me read you from verse 30. Let me read from verse 29. The Bible tells the believer that there is a way you would worry. It will show that you have not been feasting on God's word. It's not a rebuke. It's to get you feasting. Because when you feast on God's word, you will get to this part. Look at verse 27. It says, which one of you, by taking thought, can add a cubit to your life? Amen. The Bible is saying, do you know that you cannot with worry add a cubit to your life? Meaning worry is useless expenditure. Look at what it says again. And why take ye thought? You know, a lot of people get carried away. What will I wear? What will happen? It says, the point is they are taking thoughts. They are worrying. It says, why take ye thought for raiment? It says, consider the lilies. You know what? Which is the second point I'll make later, which is meditation. It says, you should, instead of worrying, meditate. Instead of worrying, why think? You know, if people would only even just think about things around and things in the past, they have enough faith for the future. What do I mean by that? You know, if you would think, Jesus here is saying, if this man only thought about how God will intentionally take care of lilies, that one moment are here and tomorrow they are not here, this man will be, who should come to the point to say, if God can take care of lilies, I'll be taken care of. Does that make sense? He says, but the man that does not think or meditate will worry. Are you getting my point? Worry is proof that you are not feasting on God's word. So it's not a rebuke. Just go back to feasting on God's word. Because as you feast on God's word, he will say, don't you see? He says, even Solomon in all his glory was not as beautiful as the lilies. I take care of them. Are you not more important than lilies? That is a thinking man. Look at it. He now says, wherefore, verse 30, if God clothed the grass of the field, which is here today and is gone, will he not clothe you, O ye of little faith? How does a man come to this conclusion? He's worrying. Where is God? Will God? He says that man isn't thinking. If that man was thinking on God's word, he would come out with a better conclusion. Amen. Church, amen. So he now advises you, verse 31. Wherefore, take no thought, meaning do not be worried. Take no thought for what you shall eat, what you shall drink, or what you shall, how will you be clothed. The point is, he's saying, do not make it a worry point. Amen. Instead of worrying, consider. This is the reason why Jesus, God will say, when the children of Israel came out of Jordan, they should take the stones there from the middle of the sea, that they may remember. Let me tell you something. As a human being, have milestones. That's why sometimes celebrate birthday. Amen. Praise God. Have milestones just to remember God's faithfulness. Just to remember what God has done. Because if you're not careful, you will not realize that in the last 5 years, these are the things God has done. All you'll be thinking is, this one remains. Because the mind is programmed to solve problems. And when it is solved, it goes to the back burner. That's why David will say, count your blessings. Name them one by one. Forget not his benefits. Why? Man, you get it. You forget it. You might even celebrate it one day. And then you might remember one day. Then the next day, you're already saying, I want something else. That's the way man is. So man must learn. Instead of worrying, he should learn to do what? Consider. So make things in your... There was a time that you were single. Deacon Tosi, you are married now. Everything is not going down. How many people want to see me as a wife? You don't know until you put her on a dating app. Praise God. Exactly. So the point is, there are many things good going on for believers. But the thing is, you would always look at, oh my God, this is not working. And the moment your heart is only on this is not working, your heart is in a bad place. Amen. So what am I saying to you? I'm saying to you, instead of worrying, consider. When you find out that I'm worrying about this, stop and think and consider. That's what the Bible tells you to do. Consider. Look around. Look at the faithfulness of God. Has God been good to somebody here? Come on, shout a believing amen. He says, look at it. He says, consider God's goodness. He says, verse 42, for after these things do Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all things. There is no need you have that the Lord does not know. The reason why the Lord will have you pray about things is because the Lord wants fellowship and the Lord wants you to actually ask him. Because if you do not ask him, it's like he's invading you. God knows your needs. How many people believe that God knows your needs? He knows all things. So he knows your needs. So we don't pray so that God will know our needs. Amen. Church, amen. We pray to ask him to do something about it because we don't know how to do something about that need. Amen. Church, amen. So he's now telling you that when you have issues and needs, don't act as a Christian that thinks God is dead. Tell me, say hello. No, louder. Hello. No, louder. Hello. I need someone that is loud. Ah, okay, we're here. Uncle John, say hello. No. Hey, hello. Now, did I hear? Yes, that's how your father is. Say hello. Do you need to say that for me to hear? No. I am trying to tell you, when it comes to needs, God hears you. Unbelief will make you think, hello, hello, Lord. No. And, you know, it's good for religion. It's not the truth. Because if God gave us ears, can he not hear? If we are intelligent, does God not know? That is why when you pray, learn the habit of maybe having a notepad. God is speaking sometimes too. Praise God. Oh Lord, I want this. Help me with this. He heard. Amen. Oh, church is not liking this. Amen. Yes. If you're sensitive, that I will bring people your way. And I'm telling you because it can be practical. I was doing my master's in this country, and they gave us something that we were to do for our dissertation, for our data analysis. And it was really, really tough. And I said, okay, Lord, in the name of Jesus, can you help me with this? My point is, God brought people my way. And God aided me to be able to understand that thing that I was teaching other people. I brought that to be practical, right? To help Nancy realize that she can talk to the Lord about things. Amen. Yeah, amen. About practical things. So he hears you. He even says, don't pray to me like Gentiles. Who think that because of the multitude of their speech, they are heard. No. When it comes to needs, no. You tell God something, he hears. Hallelujah. Church, hallelujah. What does God say is the system of this world that will work for you? Put him first. Everything gravitates to your center. And a lot of people don't like this, but that is the truth of the way it is. What is God's way for you to live a successful Christian life? Put him first. You know what other people do? Other people put themselves first. They put things first. They can put children first. No, you put everything first. But God says that's not the way. Let's read it together. I want you to be in verse 33. I'm sharing about how to live a successful Christian life. And I've said, get into God's word. I'm saying, put Jesus first. Look at it here. Verse 33. I want us to read it together as a family. 1, 2, 3, go. 1, 2, 3, go. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for tomorrow. So that word is worry. He said, seek ye first. So the believer, what am I to do? I am to give myself to seeking the Lord first, because that is the way of our kingdom. When I get born again and have eternal life, the next thing I'm to do is to seek the Lord first. How do I seek the Lord? Another way to say it, get into God's word. When I get into God's word, what will happen? In fact, let me show you. Right? This seeking God first is a serious business. Look at the book of Luke 14. Luke 14. Amen. Are you there? I want to read verse 26. Quickly, because of our time. Are you in Luke 14, 26? If any man come to and hate not is, now let's put it in context. Is it saying hate your father? It's saying that in comparison to me, nobody is close. That's the point there. It's just the rendering. Are we together? It says, look, so let's read it. If anyone come to me and hate not his father, his mother, his wife, his children, his brethren, his sister, yea, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. So what is he trying to say? He's trying to say, as a believer, when it comes to Jesus, no one comes close. Jesus is first. I'm not talking about just a believer that just got born again and you're being carnal. No, I'm saying a disciple who is number one. He even says that, you know, in your life, your wife is not number one. He says it there. Your parents are not number one. Amen. Church, amen. Your children are not number one. In a normal family, it should be God first. If you are married, spouse next, then children. If you are in a dysfunctional home, that's when to be looking like the children are more important than the husband. Amen. And then the husband is more important than God. Amen. Church, amen. In a normal situation, God is where? Number one. And he is not any close. He is far from others. He's the center of your life. That is the reason why if God says today, as a family, move to Morocco, it's not that you like Morocco, but you go because God is number one. Amen. Church, amen. I'm using difficult examples because you know what? How many people know that we will do great things for Jesus? We'll do great things for Jesus. It will be sacrificial for us. We will. That's why he's number one. That's why his instructions to us are not multiple choices. They are things to obey. Amen. So when God, that's why he's number one. So it's not a function of, okay, what do we do now? It's a function of God said we should do this, we're doing it. Praise the Lord. Church, praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. He says, you cannot be my disciple. He's not saying you cannot be born again. The disciple is a student who is following God's will. Amen. How many people know that all believers, not all believers are disciples? Not all believers are disciples. Amen. To believe means that you have heard the word, the gospel of Christ, and you believe. A disciple is a student of Christ. You are pursuing God's will, God's plan, and God's purpose with your life. You know that God, your life is God's own. And you are studying God's word to show yourself approved so that you can live for him on the earth. That's the difference between a disciple. So he's now saying, if you want to be a disciple, I am number one in your life. It is not, we are not arguing it. It's not a game of, okay, maybe on Sundays you are number one. Every day he is number one. That's why the believer has devotions, quiet time. You talk to the Lord. Amen. You've talked to everybody. You've not talked to the Lord. You're not living properly. Learn it to give yourself time to fellowship with the Lord. Praise the Lord. Church, praise the Lord. All right. Okay. We've said to ourselves, we give ourselves to God's word. The next thing we do to live a very, very colorful life, give yourself to meditation. Give yourself to what? Meditation. What is meditation? Thinking through what you are reading. Amen. Church, amen. You know, if you read something that you have not taken the juice out of it, it doesn't benefit your life. Because what benefits your life is understanding. So there must be meditation. Meditation is breaking it down. It's not speed reading. It's breaking it down. Now that we have read this, what does it mean? Where else was this said? Thinking through it so it can make sense to you. God says the man that will be a success on this earth is that man that will give himself to God's word, intentionally meditate on it. God says that man will be successful. Look at Joshua chapter 1. I want us to be there quickly. Who is Joshua? Joshua is a man who just received the assignment of taking the children of Israel from where they were to Canaan land. And he did not know the way. Amen. Church, amen. He did not know the way. He didn't know anything. But what did God tell him? Are you in Joshua chapter 1? I want to read verse 8. Are you there? Are we there? I'm there. Are you there now? Look at verse 8. This book of the church, this book of the shall not depart from your watch. Now, we're talking about meditation. What should be that place where we find God's word? Come on. Where should be that place you find God's word? It shall not depart from your mouth. So what do you do with God's word? You say it. What do you do with God's word? Church, what do you do with God's word? It shall not depart from your mouth, from your mouth, from your mouth. So you would read it. When you read it, what do? You talk about it. You talk about it. It says, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. What else shall you do? We're in verse 8. Thou shalt do what? Meditate on it. Day and night. You think about it. What is this thing saying? You're reading Psalm 27, for example. It says, the Lord is my light. The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I fear? Okay, there's a situation that is happening right now. You're going, okay, the Lord is my light. So if I was in a dark place, I'll be lighted. The Lord is the strength of my life. Okay, if I was weak, there is strength. So if God is my light and God is my strength, I should not be afraid. That's meditation. So I'll be saying, glory to God. I will not be afraid because the Lord is my light. I will not be afraid because the Lord is my strength. Praise God. Church, praise God. So you're thinking about it. You're thinking about it. Strength wells up from within. Where did it come from? You read it in God's word that God is your light. You put it upon your mouth and you kept thinking about it. He says that man will make his way prosperous. He would have good success. That man. Another man can say, well, by and by. Doesn't matter what happens. You think about the word of God. That's my point to you. You think about it. Look. It says, he shall make his way prosperous. And he shall have good success. What will this man do? He will meditate on it day and night. He would meditate on it. God's word. He will meditate on it. Amen. Amen. You know, I would meditate on God's word as I read through the book of Exodus and I see what a mighty redeemer. Amen. I will meditate on God's word through different particular books of the Bible and I'll say, what a strong God. What a faithful God. What a loving God. You come to that conclusion from your meditations. And that's why I cannot teach you how to meditate. I can only tell you to meditate. Meditate means you are thinking through something. So Christianity is business that you think through. Let me show you what the Bible says in the book of 1 Timothy chapter 4. Let's see 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Are you in 1 Timothy chapter 4? Okay, wait for me. 1 Timothy chapter 4. I would be reading verse 13. Are you there? Are you there? Till I come, give attendance to reading. Are we together? Give attendance to reading, meaning hear God's word. Hear messages. Hear the messages that is being preached here. He says you should give what? Attendance. Are you there? Give it to reading, exhortation, to doctrine. It says, verse 14, neglect not the gift of God that is in thee, that was put in you by the laying on of the hands. But look at verse 15. Meditate. Are you there? Meditate on these things. Give yourself, church, give yourself, I mean verse 15, wholly to them that you're profiting. The word profits the man that meditates. Amen. That's why I cannot do it for you. The peace that you enjoy. The boldness and the confidence. It can't be transferred. He says, meditate on it. Think about it. God will lead you. Someone say, I don't know what to do with my life. I used to be there. You keep at God's word. It first might not make sense. Keep reading it. You will just start to have godly desires. That's how it happens. As you think about it, oh, look at what happened to Samson. Oh, look at what happened to Jeremiah. Oh, look at the love of God. Look at the grace of God. You start having stirrings on the inside. That's how God leads as you meditate. What you don't really need to say, oh God, should I go left? Focus on God's word. His spirit will bring direction. That's the way the believer is supposed to be. God cannot afford not to direct you. God is not one that you are begging for him to talk. God is actually besieging you to come to a place where he can reach you. Where can he reach you? In God's word. Amen. Church, amen. Meditate on these things. Verse 15. Give yourself wholly to it. That you're profiting. If you will meditate, you will profit. He says, meditate on this thing. Give yourself wholly to it. Your profiting will appear to all. Everybody will know something has happened to you. Amen. Church, amen. The thief will no longer steal. The man that was just lukewarm for Jesus is on fire for Jesus. Following God's plan. I hope everybody here knows God has a plan for your life. That you will never know until you get into God's word. You will never know it. You can't. God will lead you via his word. And then the work of the spirit. They work hand in hand. God put you here intentionally. There are things that you have to do. And you see, you will know it as you follow God's word. That's why we always say, don't think that God will say, oh, you are not reading the Bible, you are mad, I will kill you, I will not prosper you. No. God is not all those toxic bosses that says, if God is a father, God will bless people regardless, because the blessing is not the problem. The issue is that God wants men that he can walk with in this generation. Can we get a believing amen? That's what God is looking for. And so you will give yourself to meditation. That is why even as we are in this service, there are things that God is speaking to you that you will jot down, you will think about, you will write. Oh God. Amen. Church, amen. Meditation. The same thing Psalm 1 verse 3 says. It's the same thing. Meditation. How to live a triumphant life. Psalm chapter 1. Look at verse 3. Are you in verse 3? Okay, let's look at, blessed is the man that does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. So God will tell the believer, who you hear from is important. Don't get your counsel from an ungodly person. How did you know that? Because you read God's word. He now says, don't stand in the way of sinners. Don't let people that are around you be ungodly people that will influence you. That's what he's saying here. He says, don't sit around discomfort. Those who are always talking down on the things of God, the things of the Spirit, don't be there. So the Bible is already telling you that if you are going to be a successful believer, your friends matter. Amen? Your friends matter. You may say, no, anybody I choose is my friend. He's not God's friend, he's my friend. But what happens now? He says, what would be your delight? He says, you delight in the law of the Lord, and on the law of the Lord you meditate day and night. Because when you are meditating on the law of the Lord day and night, it even affects the people. It affects the people you choose as friends and people around you. What did he then say? That person will be like a tree planted. I'm talking about how to live a Christian life. He says you'll be like a tree planted. I always tell people I'm not boasting. I can never fail. Not because I've not failed before. Or not because there's no failure tomorrow. But because I know I have God's word. He says this man will be like a tree planted by the riverside. What is the antidote? It is the believer with God's word. Amen. It's like a tree planted by the riverside. You may not feel it, but you know it. I'm feasting on God's word. I'm meditating on God's word. How does it describe me? A tree planted by the riverside. He says, whose tree? He says, no matter what he does, look at it, he shall prosper. Look at it. He says, by the riverside that bringeth forth his fruit in his season, these leaves shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth, he shall prosper. Why? God's word. He meditates on. I'm sharing simple, everyday truths that sometimes the church glosses over. That is really the difference between one believer and another believer. The word of God that you hear and you meditate on. I grew up in the days of putting Walkmans in my ear, hearing true ministers minister God's word. That's how we knew Bible. That's how we knew a lot of the parts of the things that we quote, when we quote Ephesians. Because we grew up listening to it. You are filled with it. When people look at you, you say, no, that one is filled with faith. It's not that we are filled with faith. It's just a natural response of being filled with God's word. Thinking on God's word. God's word will now affect your speech. It will affect your decisions. You will know what to do. I'm trying to tell you that the auto way of living this life in Christ is to get God's word. God's word will help you in making decisions. Who to marry? Where to go? How? There are some things you just know that is wrong. Amen. You just know that is wrong. And as you feast on God's word, you start having what we call the inner witness working within you. You see, a lot of times today, the reason why people do what they do is only one symptom. The real problem is that men have not been feasting on God's word, or they've not been meditating on God's word. That right to it. Marriage issues, this one issue. Because what I'm saying to you is God's word is the wisdom of God. Amen. That's why I'm not breaking it down. I'm just saying God's word so that you hear something. I could give many examples, but I want you to hear it. God's word will help you in conflict resolution. I remember last week, Sunday, I said the Bible said you don't take a believer to court. You learn it. How would you have heard it? You heard it because you were reading God's word. Amen. Wasn't it last week we were saying that Sister Victoria's problem is our problem because we are one body. Amen. It's God's word that shows you fellowship, communion. Look at Acts 2:42. And as we start to conclude now, Acts 2:42. We're almost done here. Acts 2:42. I want to beg you, prioritize reading God's word. A lot of people are penny wise spiritually, Or how do they say it? Sister Diola, how do they say it? Is it penny wise and pound foolish? The things that we should not spend time on, we spend time on it. And the things we should not... Okay, you get the point. Acts 2, if I confuse you, I confuse myself. Acts 2, 42. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. They didn't stop. I mean, God's word will lead you by itself. Just keep feasting on God's word. It will lead you to direct you. You will know what to do. It will lead you to direct you. You know what to do. You will know God's will. It will sharpen your spiritual ears. God will tell you the things to come. I'm saying to you, the life in Christ starts off with you giving priority to God's word. Look at it there. It says in verse 42, they continued. You know, sometimes people hear this kind of message. They are burning with God's word. They'll read God's word on Monday, on Tuesday, on Wednesday. You know how many people have New Year resolutions here? You had New Year resolution in January. Exactly. How many people are in January? I am going to the gym. And then in January, you see every day. I will read 14 chapters. And you are reading it. Then it's May. All of the whole speculum of the new year is fizzled out. So that's why I said, this kingdom, you would have to continue when someone is there or no one is there. It looks like there is no reward. You just realize that I'm changing. I don't respond to my wife that way anymore. Oh, I don't talk like this anymore. You just realize that over a while, you start seeing, your friends will say, something has happened to you. You start prioritizing things differently. You know, most of the time, we always say, prioritize this differently. Don't talk like this. No, the real truth is, feast on the word. It will do that one. You realize, no, my marriage is healthier. The relationship with me and my children is better. Oh, I just know what to do. I'm having visions of what to do with my life now. Where did it start from? You just went to the spiritual gym of feeding on God's word. And you didn't think of it, if whatever the cost may be, I'm going to live that way. I'm going to live that way. See, God has a plan for your life. Independent. Everybody I'm speaking to here, God has a plan for your life. Clear, meaning that he mapped out. Nobody here is an accident. But God needs your cooperation. God always needs your cooperation. And the funny thing is that God is patient. And the funny thing is that God will never force anybody to do what he wants them to do. That's why God gives man free will. Amen. You know that I'm one of the best footballers that came out of my state. And when I came into this country, I could have been one of the best footballers ever. You give me a ball, I do what they do with footballs. But as I read God's word, I knew, I'm not meant to play football. He said I was to preach. Right? I was one of the fastest people that could run. You are not meant to run. You are to preach. And what will I do? I didn't just say, believers should know that I didn't go anywhere to pray. Oh God, make me. You don't do that really if people are honest with you. Focus on God's word. Direction will come. In fact, can we be honest? I never went and said, oh Father, there is a lady called Nikki somewhere. You don't have to. When it comes to marriage, focus on God's word. He'll bring everything to your center. Amen. God knows if I was looking for women. I know people always say, I find it. I get it. But I'm saying that the man that is on God's assignment, that feasts on God's word, God knows that if the man desires a spouse, he should have a wife. Amen? God knows. Don't act with God and be talking to God like God does not know. You can do that for your emotion. Oh God, don't you say that my boss is wicked. Change my job. You can say all of that. But God knows. God knows everything about your life. But what I'm saying to you is that if you focus on God's word, he will bring everything to the center. He will. He will bring everything to the center. He will teach you patience. There are sometimes you say you want to resign. God says, no, not now. Don't do that. Use this to learn patience. Praise God. When I got into this country, the place I was at, these people would lie on me. God said, don't say anything. When I first got there, the first 2 weeks, they went shopping. I was like, oh my God, this UK is good. Because of me, they went shopping. I didn't know it was their monthly shopping that they do, that every family does. I said, they bought all of these things for me. But before you know it, they will act and lie and do things in a funny way. God will say, I will say, but I didn't do that. They're lying on me. God will say, don't say anything. You will have thought God was cheating me. God was preparing me for Temi, for Tosin, for Diola, for Victory, for Bola, for Ayola. And it's the same thing. Don't say, God is also preparing you for people. Amen. That is why, so God's word will feed you. Say, no, don't act that way. My point to you tonight, or today, I'm morning service now. God, praise God. My point to you today is, embrace God's word. It will change your life. You don't need, it will change your life by itself. I could tell you, when I was younger, I was very sick. Very, very sick. I was so sick, I used to always be slim. People thought being slim was my choice. No, it was sickness. It was malaria, typhoid, cholera, malaria again. We're always just in that Bermuda Triangle of sickness. But God's word came. It's God's word. It's God's word. Amen. In my life, I've never seen somebody sick in their bodies and being made whole. I'm still amazed at that lady that was a limping leg just 1 week ago. This lady, the legs grew out. It's God's word. It's God's word. That's what I'm saying to you. I'm preaching my heart to you tonight, today, because I want you to see it. That if I will give myself to God's word and I will think about it, God himself will make me a champion on this earth. Prioritize it. Listen to messages. Put it right there. God will tell, listen, God is more interested in you following his will than you are. Amen. I don't think about, oh God, what is going to happen to a ministry? What's going to, no. As long as I'm in God's word, he will just say, okay. I was just feeding on God's word, and God will just say, Dio, you're going to Nigeria and you're ministering in two places. Did I not tell you? I said I was not going to tell anybody about it when I go to Nigeria, that I'm coming to Nigeria. And then independently, they just, God said you should call a minister here. God said you should call a minister here by themselves. How? God's word. I can continue. God's word. God's word. I remember when I met Miss B, it's not as I was looking for anybody. And God said, oh, that is a gift to you. God's word. I was reading Bible. I was reading Ephesians 4. When I was reading Ephesians 4, it was talking about gifts of the Spirit. And the Lord just spoke to me. That's a gift for you. Should help you manage your life. Hey, okay, glory to God. My point is, it's God's word. People do it the other way. They leave God's word and they are fighting for things in their lives. They are fighting and they are in the rat race. And God will say, oh, he that is laboring, cast this labor down. Come and take rest for your soul. Get God's word. That's why you're a Christian. The world will do the way the world does. But we do God's word. And God's word is an end in itself. Let me tell you sometimes, in life, you will do God's word. The result you're expecting might not be what you see. Understand that in doing God's word is an end in itself. Praise God. Because there are many other factors around. Amen. Imagine me now walking in love with Sister Diola. It doesn't mean she walk back in love with me. So sometimes you suffer for doing God's word. Just know that doing God's word is an end in itself. Because you're a believer. Say, I'm that man that lives a successful life by prioritizing God's word. Let's rise upon our feet this particular evening. Or morning. Hey. Phew, we'll get used to it. Morning. Amen. Just rise up on your feet. You have heard God's word about prioritizing God's word. Just like last Sunday was a service of consecration. I want you to speak to the Lord again now. Understanding that he hears you. Lord, you see, repentance is a New Testament reality. Meaning that you can know that you have erred in a way and you can say, Lord, I'm sorry. I have not been prioritizing your word the way I should. That's why you're in church. Lord, I have been busy with many things. The things I should have cast my care on you, I'm busy about it. And somebody might be here, you are burnt out. You are tired. No time for God.